We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Things were pretty hot at NATO. Fiery.
Yeah, there were some fireworks. It's never a dull moment with our president. He keeps it lively.
He does. Jordana and Paul here, thank you for spending some time with us. It's 3 o'clock. It's 3:11. We are going to talk a little more NATO with Christopher Preble. He's the Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at Cato Institute. We are going to talk about Canada's immigration policy. Why don't the Canadians have this contentiousness up there about immigration?
They have more legal immigrants living in the country than we do.
Really?
I think 20% of the population in Canada.
And are people all angry about that we are?
Not to the extent that we are. It doesn't seem to be the case. So what have they figured out that we haven't?
We're going to take notes during that 5 o'clock interview because they seem to be doing something. So we're going to ask some questions about how they do it up there and what happens. But, you know, we're coming off of NATO. The president is on his way. Well, he's in England, and then he's going to be on his way to Helsinki. So the president said had a press conference today to sort of wrap it up and speak with international reporters. And I just wanted to play a couple of those sound bites for you. Susan, you might have to boost this for me because it's a little bit low, okay? So here's what the president had to say at a press conference today.
The United States' commitment to NATO is very strong, remains very strong, but primarily because everyone, the spirit they have, the amount of money they're willing to spend, the additional money that they will be putting up. I believe in NATO. I think NATO is a very important, probably the greatest ever done, but the United States was paying for.
Wait, let me just back that up and unpack that. NATO, he believes in NATO. NATO is the greatest ever done. Really? Because a few days ago, we were getting out, right? And it was ridiculous, it was unfair, and we're not going to participate if you don't pay dues.
He threatened to pull the United States out of NATO, apparently, and wants other NATO members to increase their defense spending, you know, at least up to 2, 3, 4% of GDP. We are spending about 3.5% of our GDP on defense. Not all of that is going to NATO, of course.
Anywhere from 70 to 90% of it, depending on the way you calculate. That's not fair to the United States. Germany's coming along, and we still have to figure out what's going on with the pipeline, because the pipeline is coming in from Russia.
What is going on with that pipeline? We're going to ask our guest that. You know, we got to figure out what's going on. I mean, I don't know that's why it's our business to decide where they get their energy from, but apparently it is now.
The point he was making, I think, I presume, is that Germany is dependent on Russia for a disproportionate percentage of its energy needs. But I'm not sure how that ties directly into
NATO,
the defense of NATO countries.
So we're going to have to figure that out. I brought it up. Nobody brought it up but me, and we all are talking about it now.
Had to get that in there, didn't he? I brought it up. Nobody brought it up but me, and now everybody's talking about it because I'm the smartest one in the room.
Some people ask themselves, will you be tweeting differently once you board the Air Force One?
Very good question. Will he change his tune? Because 2 days ago, you know, we were anti-NATO. Now it's one of the greatest ever created. Let's find out what he said.
No, that's other people that do that. I don't. I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius. As you know, I'm.
That's my favorite line. I isolated it so we can keep using it on the show.
He's understated. And that's what
I'm
I love
a very
about
stable
him.
Genius.
I just want to keep playing it.
As you know, I'm meeting with.
One second, let me go back.
I'm a very stable genius.
All right.
Who says that?
Enough.
Who says that about themselves?
He meant to think it, and it just came out.
It's so good.
Maybe it's sleep deprivation, you know? He's doing a lot of flying. Cut the guy a break.
As you know, I'm meeting with President Putin on Monday.
Oh, yeah, we know. The whole world knows about this. Let's finish up what he said, and then I'll tell you what the NATO leaders want to tell him about that.
And I think we go into that meeting not looking for so much. We want to find out about Syria. We will, of course, ask your favorite question about meddling. I will be asking that question again. What am I going to do? If he may deny it. I mean, it's one of those things. So all I can do is say, did you, and don't do it again. But he may deny. I mean, well, you'll be the first to know.
So if he denies, I mean, is that all he can do? He's the leader of the free world. If Putin denies it, is that all you can do?
Is that good enough?
As an American, are you okay with that? If the president goes and says, hey, Mr. Putin, did you meddle in our elections? And Putin says, no, we would never do that. Okay, thanks so much. Let's talk about Syria. I mean, is that okay with it? It's not okay with me.
What is your name?
Because there's proof that they did.
Trust but verify. Right?
Putin may be the easiest of them all. You never know.
I know, because if he accepts that answer, no, we didn't meddle in your elections, case solved, deal done. If you accept that, that would be easy.
Well, this is what I want to ask this representative from the Cato Institute, mm-hmm. which is a very conservative think tank.
Mm-hmm.
Why the cozying up to President Putin?
That's a good question.
I mean, diplomacy, a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be great if we were, in fact, on better terms with Russia and mm-hmm. China. But I don't know. Some head-scratching things going on.
There were some world leaders, of course, that spoke at the beginning of NATO, and they did have some harsh words for our president. This one, rather poignant.
It is always worth knowing who is your strategic friend and who is your strategic problem.
And that was one of the ambassadors speaking specifically about going into this meeting in Helsinki with President Putin. Come on, play.
Please remember about this tomorrow, but above all, when you meet President Putin in Helsinki.
Remember who your friends are, but it's more important to know who your strategic enemies are. So the NATO leaders are worried about this meeting as well.
German media reported that Trump had a, quote, tantrum during the NATO summit in Brussels.
Really?
Apparently, at one point, he said, I'll do my own thing if other NATO members don't immediately increase military spending. He now claims, the president claims, that other members did, in fact, agree to substantially up their commitment and spend more on mutual defense. But French President Emmanuel Macron quickly disputed Trump's claim that NATO allies had agreed to boost defense spending beyond their existing goal of 2% of gross domestic product. So a little bit of he said, she said going on right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just that's the latest out of NATO. That was the press conference that the president gave. You heard it in his own words. Stable genius. You heard it. I'm going to be using that a lot because I'm clearly not a stable genius. I'm very unstable.
You're an unstable genius.
I'm very
That's why we love you so.
It's 3:19. When we get back, the lovely and talented Geraldine Steele is going to join us. Do you know that Geraldine Steele has been working here for 20 years?
20 years. That's impressive.
20 years on Sunday nights doing
her
show.
We're lucky to have her on our show.
She's amazing. So she's going to line up your weekend for us in just a few moments. Welcome back. It is 3:24. You excited for a good weekend? I am.
Yeah. Every weekend, by definition, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Some are better than others.
You're not working.
Well, yeah.
You can tune out the lunacy of the world and angry, hateful people, and you can just kind of return to the normalcy of your world.
It's hard to do, but there's one person who increases the odds of a great weekend, mm-hmm. and that is Hurricane Geraldine.
Hi, girl.
Category 5, Geraldine Steele. Welcome.
Hey, it's great to be back. I'm a hurricane. I have to celebrate.
You've been upgraded.
That's a compliment from him.
Oh, it's great to hear you guys and be on with you again. We have so much that is being offered this weekend. I didn't know what to choose, but I had to talk about Kevin Kling. Have you guys ever experienced his gifts and talents?
We have not.
He's very funny.
Oh, he's
yes, he
hilarious.
Is.
Okay, he's a master storyteller. He does all these amazing stories. And now he's come up with this show at the Children's Theater called The Best summer ever. And this is taking place starting tonight through July 29th. Now, it's a one-man show, but he tells stories of a nine-year-old's summer adventures. And this man will have you laughing so hard throughout. You'll never get bored. It's just a wonderful experience. Now, it's taking place, again, starting tonight through July 29th at the Children's Theater Company at 2400 3rd Avenue South. Just go to the website, and you can get the website and all the information. And just know that you can also get your tickets by the box office, the old-fashioned way. I have to say that because that's the way I like to do it. Just call 612-874-0400, and I encourage people to call in and let us know what you thought about that show.
Excellent. Thanks for the recommendation.
Okay.
I might take the kids.
Oh, and by the way, it's recommended for ages 8 and up, so we got to mention that.
Super fun.
Now, if you're couples or even singles and you're not quite sure you want to be outside, honey, this is it. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. Remember Michael Jackson saying that?
Of course, great song.
It doesn't matter if you're black or white. Well, we can all grow our cultural intelligence a bit more by seeing the Dragon Festival. Yep, the Dragon Festival. It's happening this Saturday and Sunday, July 14th and 15th, where boat races on the Lake Phelan are always a treat. And, of course, you can stay for all the performance art and the traditional dances from across Asian cultures. It's a lot to see and a lot to learn. And you can come and watch and honor 19 years of the Pan-Asian heritage and spirit. This is taking place on Lake Phelan and at Lake Phelan Park in St. Paul, Minnesota. This is happening from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And, again, just go to our website and check it out, dragonfestival.org.
Paul, I'm going to put you on the spot. Is the weather going to be good for some?
Oh, yeah. Is the weather going to be good?
What time?
This weekend?
9 to 5.
9 to 5? There are going to be a few spotty storms around, especially on Sunday. But yeah, most of the time is going to be dry, Geraldine.
Well, just bring an umbrella and get it done, honey.
Okay.
Yep.
So Bastille Day is also happening. Of course, we've heard about it, the French celebration, and it's happening here Sunday the 15th. Now, it's a day of celebration with lots of performers like Jeremy Messersmith, whom I'm going to marry in my next life. I just want y'all to know that. It's French-inspired drinks and great food. It's always packed. It's free for everyone to attend. So come one, come all to this great celebration for Bastille Day. It's happening at Barbette on Lake Street. It's this adorable little restaurant with really amazing food and amazing people. It's located at 1600 Lake Street. And, you know, it's going to cost some things for some food. It's going to cost some things for some drinks. But really, it's free in every other way. It's 3 to 10 p.m., 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., free of charge. Bring some money so you can eat and drink and have a ball. That's right. What I got you guys.
I love Bastille Day. For some reason, my camp, which was a Jewish camp, used to celebrate Bastille Day just because it was great fun. And in the middle of the night, the counselors would wake us up and get pots and pans and just storm through the cabins and just, like, have a celebration. I don't know why they adopted Bastille Day.
I just love it. I love it. I hope to be down there, by the way, this weekend to check it out.
Yeah, that looks like great fun.
Cool.
Hey, Geraldine, Susan just posted all of Geraldine's picks on the Paul and Jordana Facebook site. You have some great options and always wonderful things. And by the way, happy 20th anniversary.
It is my 20th anniversary here at WCCO Radio. Woo! I just love it. I'm so excited about that.
Well, we are excited for you. We think you're amazing. There's going to be another 27 more years. I mean, you must have started when you were like 6, girl.
Oh, I don't know, honey, but I'm looking good. Don't ask me my age. I'm staying at 29.
Keep it going.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jordana.
You're so great.
Thanks,
happy
Geraldine.
Anniversary, Geraldine, and thanks for coming on the show.
It's always a pleasure. Have a great one. Bye.
The show is always better when Geraldine Steele infects her energy on us. It's so great.
Absolutely. Now, I know you gave President Trump a little bit of a hard time.
I just played his words himself a hard time. I just played but we laughed.
One of our listeners writes in, don't you get it? He knows his words. Have you all roused up? He knows what he's doing. You can't stop talking about him winning.
We talk about the president of the United States of America every day on this show. When it was Obama, we did that. So, yeah, that's sort of our job.
I guess my point is, you know, getting past the tweets, getting past the shock and awe, the bluster and bravado. Mm-hmm. I don't really care what he says. I care what happens. I care about policy. You know,
what's funny about that, Paul?
Results.
And this is why you and I don't get in the weeds a lot, because this country will survive this president. We have survived worse. Well, maybe not worse presidents, but we have survived hard times. We have survived challenges to our democracy. This is just a moment in time. And the American people and the democracy and our Constitution and the really smart people who are really running this country will all survive this. The electorate will survive this. We're going to be okay. So when he goes and says crazy stuff, it's comedy.
But there's a significant percentage of the American population that has not kept up.
What does that mean?
They're not doing well. I mean, they're struggling. They're working 2, 3, 5 jobs.
Oh, and you think he's the savior?
No, I'm not sure he's the savior, but he, I mean, we'll see. If their lives improve by 2020, right? And, you know, that old question, is your life better than it was 4 years ago?
Right.
Have things improved? I mean, that's the litmus test, right?
I'm curious to hear what the soybean farmers say about that.
Well,
the pork farmers say it'll be interesting.
He doesn't want us to be taken advantage of in his mind.
And nobody does. I don't think any other president in the history of the United States wanted us to be taken advantage of. I agree. I think the methodologies are different. But, no, you know, President Obama, President any of the Bushes, nobody wanted us to be taken advantage of. It's just how we go about it.
It's a radically different approach.
And it's a wait and see. For me, I did not vote for the man. You know, that's fine. I'm just going to sit back. Other presidents have won that I have not voted for. I sit back and I watch because we will be okay.
We are conducting an experiment on a grand scale,
right? American experiment.
As I said yesterday, he doesn't profess to be a statesman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And can a flamethrower get stuff done? I mean, we'll see.
It's great for talk radio.
Well, it does give us something to talk about.
Great
and yes, we are talking about our president.
Mm-hmm. As we should be. We should be talking about the president every day. What he's doing, what he's not doing, if we're happy, if we're sad. Well, you guys can be talking about that. I'm sitting back.
And we need to balance the bad with the good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when something good happens, that needs to be just as newsworthy.
Somebody called in and said, why didn't you play the sound where the guy from NATO said that that the president's right, that everybody should step up and pay their money? The reason I didn't play that today is because I played it yesterday. This is Anders Fogh Rasmussen. He's the former NATO Secretary General from Denmark, and this is the sound we played yesterday.
I find it quite embarrassing that the European allies do not pay their fair share. This is also a reason why we decided in 2014 at the NATO summit that during the next decade we will all allies, 29 today, 29 allies will all live up to the pledge.
So that was in 2014. That was our previous president. And he did not want us to be taken advantage of. So he went out and said, let's do that. But yes, this person says it is embarrassing that the Europeans don't play up. And the president's right. And we agreed on this show that this current president is right in wanting people to pay up. Everybody should pay their fair share.
So he's a hurricane, right? He goes in. But there's a calm eye at the center of a hurricane. And at the end of the day, is he getting stuff done?
We're going to ask our next guest exactly that. Gentleman from the Cato Institute will join us in a moment.
It has been a couple of contentious days in Brussels at the NATO summit. With us to provide some perspective is Christopher Preble. He is VP of Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Christopher, thank you for joining Jordana and me today.
Thank you for having me.
What is your take on the NATO summit? Again, I know there was a lot of histrionics and bluster and bravado, but at the end of the day, do you think the administration accomplished what they set out to accomplish?
No, except that the president has convinced people that he did. So I guess you could call that an accomplishment. So President Obama secured a promise from the NATO members that in 2014 that by 2024 they would reach 2% of GDP, having spent 2% of their GDP on the military. And the countries have sort of reaffirmed that they're on the path to do that. I think you can question whether or not they'll all meet that. But the president didn't secure any new agreement, didn't get agreement that they were going to accelerate those efforts, didn't get agreement. He claimed really crazily that they would go up to 4%. There's absolutely no evidence of that whatsoever. But he wants people to believe that his pressure and bluster have frightened or whatnot the European allies in particular to spend more on defense. And if people believe that's true, then for the president's perspective, that's a victory.
A little bit of perspective. NATO spends more than 13 times as much as Russia does on defense.
Yes.
And even if you don't count U.S. spending, the other members of NATO combined spend more than four times as much as Russia. Isn't the real threat more ideological, creeping authoritarianism, as opposed to a true military threat? Russia is not going into Latvia or Estonia or Poland tomorrow. They know what would happen if they did. Isn't that the real risk here with Russia?
Yes, I think you are correct, although the Latvians may not be as confident as we are that the Russians aren't going to invade them. But I do think that unlike during the Cold War, when the nature of the threat to the Western European members of NATO was clear, that is the Soviet Union, which was in Eastern Europe after all, that threat was very clear to them. And there was relative unanimity on the nature of the threat, and I think a pretty clear sense through most of the 50s and 60s and 70s that you know NATO was the key sort of instrument for European security. But today, the kinds of threats that the different member states are confronting, now 28 of them, it's a much more diffuse threat, and it's not clear that NATO is best for dealing with them. So I think your point is a valid one. Is NATO the best, for example, to deal with ideological threats or to deal with cyber or to deal with refugee flows or to deal with rising nationalism and things like that? Is that the best instrument for combating these kinds of threats? And I think most people would conclude, no, it's not.
Our guest is Christopher Preble. Chris is the VP of Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Am I right to say the Cato is a conservative think tank?
We're a libertarian think tank.
Oh, libertarian think tank.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So the president has changed his tune. Originally, you know, NATO is bad. It's not good. We might pull out if they don't agree. And now he said where was my soundbite? Hold on one sec. I just want to pull this up for you.
Sure.
I believe it was something like the greatest. Hold on one sec here.
The United States commitment to NATO is very strong, remains very strong.
Right.
But primarily because everyone, the spirit they have, the amount of money they're willing to spend, the additional money that they will be putting up. I believe in NATO. I think NATO is a very important, probably the greatest ever done. But the United States was paying for
The greatest ever done. Okay.
Greatest ever done. Right.
Okay. So why the flip if you say that there was nothing hard and fast that got done?
I think this is another example of where the president's rhetoric to certain audiences is different from to others, and his actions are very different. President Trump, after all, agreed to allow yet another member of NATO into NATO, Montenegro, last year. Just within the last few days, there's a signal that Macedonia will be invited to enter, perhaps in the future. So his administration, for all the criticism of NATO as obsolete when he was a candidate, has presided over the continued expansion of this alliance, which was, after all, constructed nearly 70 years ago to deal with a very different kind of threat. Mm-hmm. At a time, let's be honest, when the European countries were just in no position whatsoever to defend themselves against the Soviet Union after World War II. And what has changed over the years is these countries have become quite wealthy and stable, thankfully, and in a much stronger position to defend themselves. But we never really revisited that bargain with many of our NATO allies, and they have remained quite dependent upon U.S. military power for their security.
So, Christopher, the words really don't match the actions. And could President Trump, even if he wanted to, unilaterally withdraw the United States from NATO?
That's an excellent question. I think it would be the U.S. presidents have authority to allocate where troops are deployed. So, yes, he could move troops around, and that could include even removing them from different countries. He would almost certainly face quite a bit of resistance from Congress. But the president does have quite a bit of unilateral authority to do that right now under current, the way it's been practiced in the past.
In fact, today, a Republican-controlled House unanimously passed a resolution in support of the 29-member NATO alliance. I know that doesn't really have any – it doesn't carry any weight, but I think it was more
right,
ceremonious.
The House. Right. Exactly. It's more of symbolic.
Chris, before we let you go, that comment about the pipeline in Germany. It seemed, yeah, wow, maybe the president's onto something here. He makes a really good point about that.
Right. Why is that relevant? Why is that relevant, right, Chris?
Well, it's interesting that he brought it up because he was using it as a means to sort of criticize, in particular, Germany. But he himself and people close to him, like Paul Manafort and Mike Flynn, you know, have been accused of being, you know, very close to Russia and the president himself. So I was surprised that he brought it up. It seems to me the Germans are trying to maintain access to their energy resources that they need. That's the logical way to do it. And the point is they don't see the threat from Russia the same way that others do and others here in the United States do. He was trying to call attention to that, and I think it may have backfired a little bit, even in terms of the way that Angela Merkel responded, sort of with a smirk and a grin. I don't know that it had the effect that he intended.
Hmm. Christopher Preble, I'm sorry that we're out of time, but we love having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at Cato. We'll ask you on again. Thank you,
absolutely.
Christopher.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris.
Yep.
Interesting.
Bye-bye.
Glad to hear that perspective.
Yeah. So, again, we are not withdrawing from NATO.
No. No.
So carry on.
All right, on to England and then Helsinki. Why doesn't Canada have an immigration problem?
I think there are a lot of reasons, and we're going to get to that at 5:10.
The Arctic Ocean might be one of them.
There's a higher percentage, 20% of Canadians are legal?
Correct.
Legal immigrants,
correct,
right?
Yes. Only 13% of Americans are.
Right.
Foreign-born.
And they don't have the issues, I think. They have far-right groups, but...
Yeah. I've been reading about it. It's really – they have an interesting policy. It's harsh, but it's interesting.
It's a whole different mindset, it seems, from what we have.
It's really – so we're going to talk more about that at 5:10. And we're also going to talk about sports at the U of M. Interesting article in the paper today. Do they make any money?
That and does hot weather make you dumber? That's coming up in weather therapy.
Angela Davis and Paul back in a moment here on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.